The Irish-born Vice-Chancellor of Oxford University, which yesterday announced the successful completion of Phase 3 COVID vaccine trials, says the research team involved insisted they could not be party to profiteering. Professor Louise Richardson says the university decided that any vaccine developed would be provided initially at cost price to all, and at cost in perpetuity in the developing world. The Oxford team, led by another Irish-born academic, Adrian Hill, needed emergency funding, she revealed, from the university to keep going. Professor Richardson began by telling me her reaction when news of the latest trials came through at the weekend.
We got the news on Saturday and we were absolutely thrilled. If I were to be completely honest, I'd have to confess there was an element of relief as well. I knew the team had been very confident throughout that this would prove to be effective, but to get it confirmed was really just terrific, knowing how hard so many people had worked, but also knowing that if this worked, this vaccine, unlike other ones, would be available very quickly, very cheaply, that we had made this commitment that it would be distributed at cost throughout the developing world. So it was really a great day for our team, a great day for the university, but really a great day for, if it isn't sounding too grandiose, for the world to feel that there would be this cheap, readily available vaccine.
And just that aspect of it, the making it available at cost, was that something that you and Oxford and the team there had insisted on?
Yes. When we, back in March, when we realised that we were onto something, but that if it worked, we certainly didn't have the capacity to manufacture it on the scale that would be required, we decided we needed a partner, we needed a major pharmaceutical company, and we sat down and said, what are we looking for here? And first of all, we clearly needed a company that could manufacture and distribute it, but we decided that as a publicly funded institution and as academics who had been working for decades with colleagues in the developing world, in Kenya and Vietnam and Thailand, whose work had contributed to their work, we felt two things. We felt we could not contribute to or be a party to profiteering during a pandemic, and we insisted that any pharma company we dealt with would provide the vaccine at cost in the developing world in perpetuity.
Of course, there are huge costs involved in getting a vaccine to this point, particularly this quickly. But the work, as I understand it, in Oxford didn't just begin back in January or February of this year. This is really the result of investment, if you like, research, sometimes costly research that's gone on for years. How does a university fund that kind of work when there isn't the sort of, at that stage, immediate urgent need that we've seen obviously developing in the last year?
Well, academics like our team spend their lives doing half their lives doing research and the other half writing grants to get their research funded. So over the years, and you're absolutely right, Brian, they have been working on this for decades. As I say, we have three major research groups in Kenya, Thailand, and Vietnam who are working with us, and some of them are our faculty working on infectious disease, and we write grant proposals. I mean, the Wellcome Trust has been one of the most generous supporters of our work, but we have a range of public and private funding, and it's often hand-to-mouth. So back in January, the Dean of the Medical Science Division came to see me, and he told me about the work Adrian and Sarah and the team were doing, and he said, you know, we really think this could have a big impact on COVID, but you know, we have no funding. Is there any way we could underwrite them for a while? So maybe £1 million. He said, if this works, we'd have no trouble getting funding. The government will set in, agencies will contribute, but they really need to get going now. So so we committed £1 million so that they didn't have to start turning around and writing grant proposals, so that they could just get on with the work, which is what they did. It's not an accident that this work has emerged from Oxford. It's a result of international collaboration that's gone on for decades.
I suppose people will be aware now that two of the fairly small team there are Irish academics, yes. Irish scientists. I suppose that's not surprising in itself, but it does show that there's no reason why those trained from here can't operate at the very highest levels and make a really extraordinary contribution to this kind of innovative research.
Oh, of course not. Both Adrian and I are graduates of Trinity College Dublin, so and we got terrific educations there, which has set us up for our careers.
And that was Professor Louise Richardson, Vice-Chancellor of Oxford University and late of Trinity College Dublin.